Well, good morning again. Beautiful songs we just sang, and it's just to hear the choir of God's people singing together is a beautiful thing as well. On this kickoff Sunday, we want to talk a little bit about the year ahead. We talked about different ministries happening, and I've got just a few minutes here to kind of talk to you about our theme for the year. You see it up here. It's called Encounters, Rooted and Established in Christ. All the time in ministry, I strive, along with our leaders and staff, to make sure that we're balancing our mission statement up here, which is to walk intimately with God and to invite others to journey with us. This idea of what it means to teach and grow and encourage the body of Christ, but to not grow the body of Christ for the sheer sake of just sitting as the body of Christ. To be out in our world as salt and light and to be an encouragement to those around us. And that's why we've just spent the summer talking about the art of neighboring. It's staff meeting Friday. I told our staff, I said, I easily could go 6 hours on the information I have for this morning. And they encouraged me not to do that. So you would appreciate, give the staff a hug too. But I want to talk to you just very quickly about what it means to walk intimately with God and to be rooted and established in Christ and in love. As I struggle as a leader and as I struggle as a pastor and as I struggle as a part of this community with you, I do struggle to balance these things and to make sure that we're doing what God wants us to do and to make sure that the teaching we present, that the goals we set, that the programs we provide are very strongly geared towards the things that God wants us to do, not what we want to do. I struggled over the summer to really get my head around the continued vision of what God is calling us to do. I just was tired, and I struggled a little bit. And through most of the summer, I just felt like I was spinning my wheels. And yet I realize now, looking in retrospect, that I wasn't spinning my wheels. God was doing something in and through me. But through a lot of things happening this summer, a lot of interaction, a lot of talking, a lot of praying, a lot of reading, the word that was first and foremost in my mind and should be was gospel. The gospel. The good news. And God was impressing on me that to be reminded that everything must be centered on the gospel. That we must come and be reminded of the gospel. We must be encouraged by the gospel. We must grow in the gospel. And we must in turn be agents of the gospel. The good news that Jesus saves. I don't have a lot of time. I could go for weeks, months on the gospel. And through this year, we will talk about it in many different ways. But I want to just first and foremost, right off the bat here, tell you what my hope is for this year. And my hope is for each one of us, no matter where we are spiritually, where we are on that spiritual journey, my heart is that we would be moved by God, that we would encounter Him in a new way, that we would be encouraged by Him and just pulled along by the good news of the gospel. For those of you who may not be walking with Christ, and I know many of my friends in here, you aren't at that point of having come to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. You're checking Him out, you're interested, you're looking, you're considering, you're thinking about it, you're praying about it. And I just want to say, if you are here and you are seeking spiritually and yet you haven't come to that place of walking intimately and personally with Jesus Christ, my hope is that this year you will consider that all the more. And that you would bow your knee in submission to our God and Savior Jesus Christ. And I can't understate that. And that is not out of, I want you in my club. That's not out of, I get paid to get you there. I don't. I had a youth in my youth group used to think I was paid by how many kids came in the room or else. Why else would I care that much that he was there? But I care for you. You're part of our community. And my hope is that you will come to know the peace that rests only in the gospel of Jesus Christ and in nothing else. If you've accepted Christ as your Savior, my hope is that you will continue to grow in what it means to walk as a child of God, that you would really come to know the full power of God's Spirit within you. That you would understand that you have the power of God living in you to help you along the way. And that if you're walking with Christ and you're trying to live by the Spirit, that all the more God would release you to do the work of reconciliation and redemption, the work of the gospel in our community and wherever God has planted you. And that is my unhidden agenda for this year, and should be for every year to come. That we would understand the gospel is the fact in its simplest form that God saves, God redeems, God makes right what is wrong, God cleans up the mess. And if you haven't come to that spot of understanding the gospel in its simplest form, that God saves and God wants to redeem you to what you were created for, I hope you hear it this year. I hope you have an opportunity to walk intimately and encounter the living Christ. Because he wants to get a hold of you. The simple fact is that God did not choose good people. God chooses messed up people and makes them good. Or gooder. We're not perfect. And I know, Marianne, that's not a word. Don't look at me that way. It's not a word. But God doesn't wait for us to get perfect and then accept us into his kingdom. He takes us in the messy form we are into the kingdom and changes us. I was reading one of the things I read this summer along this line of thought of the gospel was a book called Gospel by J.D. Greer. And I love this book. I've read it numerous times and I read it again this summer. And I want to read you just a couple of thoughts here of what J.D. Greer says. He says, the gospel cuts through the superficiality of religion and reacquaints you with the revolutionary truth of God's gracious acceptance of us in Christ. The gospel is the power of God and the only true source of joy, freedom, radical generosity, and audacious faith. The gospel produces in us what religion never could, a heart that desires God. He goes on to say, love for God is commanded in Scripture, but the command can only truly be fulfilled as our eyes are open to see God's beauty revealed in the gospel. The Spirit of God uses the beauty of the gospel to awaken in our hearts a desire for God. We love him, the Apostle John would say, because he first loved us. Love for God grows out of an experience of the love of God. Love for God grows out of an experience. And for all of us, whether we're walking with Christ or whether we're not walking with Christ and seeking him out, the change of the gospel comes through a personal relationship with Christ. That walking with Christ is not a religion. It's not a methodology. It's not a program. It's not a therapy. It's not a philosophy. All those things come from the outside and changes inside. A relationship with the living Christ, an encounter with the living Christ changes us from the inside and comes out. And what we're called is to intimately connect with God. To allow him to work from our inside out. And to allow the gospel truth that God saves change us. And it's important for us to know that there are three tenses of the gospel. There is God has saved. If we're walking with Christ, we say, God has saved us. He's taken me from what I was, and he's starting to change me into what he wants me to be. And for those of you who haven't made that choice yet, God wants to change you so you can look back and say, you have been changed by him. He saved you from what you fell into, what our life was before. And we all were there. None of us escaped it. But there's the present tense that God saves us. And for those of us walking with Christ, God is continuously in the business of saving us. And the sad part is many of us say, God saved me. But now in the present tense, I'm working under my own power. And I have to do everything by the power that I can muster up to change me now. And the reality is that God has changed us in the past by his power alone on the cross to suffer and die for our sins, to raise from the dead and to ascend into heaven. But in the daily life that we live and in the power that we need, God's Spirit lives within us. That when we accept him, his Spirit takes residence in our body. We hear him speak to us through our conscience. And that's a beautiful thing. And it's not just power to try to do the right things in the religious scheme of things. It's doing the things of the power of the Spirit that he calls us to do. That when Jesus was baptized and the Spirit came down and said, "That's my son," that's the power that we have within us. God saying, "This is my child." As Jesus walked in the wilderness, tempted by Satan, and he combated Satan time and time again with the words of Scripture, that was the power that we have within us. To go up against Satan when he attacks us in life and say, "No." And when Jesus read out of Isaiah in the temple, in the synagogue, and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach good news to the poor and free up those who are bound and to give sight to the blind." That very Spirit is the Spirit that we now have within us. So we have the Spirit that says we are God's child. We have the Spirit that says we can go up against Satan and win. We can go up against the problems life throws at us and we can win. And we have the power that says we are called to be part of the kingdom work of God, and we can release those who are bound by whatever they are bound by. So in our common everyday life, God's Spirit is at work and he is saving us. And there's the future tense that God will save. He will continue to save. He will continue to work his work through his church. And we're called to be a part of that work of reconciliation, to be ambassadors for Christ, to be a light on a hill, to be salt that gives flavor where life is flavorless. It's a pretty amazing picture of the gospel of God saves, has saved, is saving, will save. But that we possess the power that he has. But as Greer says in his quote that I read, this saving of the gospel comes through a personal relationship with Christ, this intimate walking with him. And that is where we want to focus this year, this idea of encountering, being rooted and established in Christ, knowing him all the more in a very personal manner from the inside out. And I want to read to you just three scriptures today. The last one being our theme verse. First one is in John chapter 14. If you have your Bibles, please take them. We're going to just read through these somewhat quickly, but hopefully pick up the point of what it means to have a personal knowledge of Christ beyond just knowledge about Christ. John chapter 14, start in verse 5. I'm going to read just a little bit there. Becca, we'll have it on the screen. She wanted me to point out my favorite daughter is back. But I would say one of my five favorite daughters is back from camp this summer. So thank you, Becca, for serving back there. Thanks for serving at camp this summer. Chapter 14 of John, starting in verse 5. Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going. So how can we know the way?" Because Jesus said, "Follow me. Come where I'm going." Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." So Thomas is, once again, doubting Thomas here, a little bit in his wheelhouse here of saying, "I'm not so sure. Jesus, where are you going? We don't know." You say, "We can follow you. We know where you're going. We don't know where you're going." And Jesus says, "I'm the way. You want to know the way to the Father? Me. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. If you really knew me, you would have known the Father." Philip jumps up and says, "Lord, show us the Father and that will be enough for us. Show us the Father and that will be enough for us. All the things we've seen you do, we still want you to show us the Father." Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been amongst you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the thought that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing this work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves." He says, "You know what? You don't believe that statement? Look at all the miracles I did and just believe those at least. That should do something. All these miracles should speak for something. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it." So Philip jumps up along with Thomas and says, you know, we just don't really know who the Father is. Show us the Father. And Jesus goes, you don't get it, do you? After all this time of me walking with you, not just the miracles, but all the other stuff, you just don't get it. That the Father's been right in front of you. If you would have known me, you would have known the Father. If you would have seen me, you would have seen the Father. And verse 9 here says, don't you know me, Philip, even after I've been with you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. There's two words in the Greek for seen or see. One has to do with what enters your eyes and gets projected on the back and your brain interprets. That's seeing. And then there's seeing, getting it. You ever see something but not see it? Look at something and not understand it? Be told something and thought you got it but you didn't? If you're married, I know this has happened. Joanne in the room. It's happened to us 7 times in the last 24 hours. I see, honey. No, you don't. And there's a difference saying, oh, I see the glass, or, oh, I get it now. I get it. Now, most times in marriage, you will never say that because you never really get it. But in life, there are things when you think you understand and you don't, and then something hits you. Parents, did somebody tell you when you were younger, you don't know what it's like to love your own child till you have your own child? And you say, oh, I get it. I see it. But then you have your own child and you hold them and you go, I see it. I see it. And the word here that Jesus is using is that kind of see. If you would have seen me, if you'd have gotten it, if you'd understood and really believed, you'd know the Father because he's right here in front of you. Another couple verses in John chapter 17, so just over a little few pages. John chapter 17, verses 1 to 3. Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. So Jesus' high priestly prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane before his trial, before his arrest. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life. Catch this. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. What is eternal life? Knowing the one true God in Jesus Christ, whom he sent. That's life. To not know about him, but truly know him. Not have all the facts and all the studies figured out, not to have all the international varsity press Bible studies on your shelf and having gone through every one of them, but truly encountering the living Christ. Truly knowing him. Not just knowing about him. And then if you turn over to Ephesians chapter 3, our theme passage for the year, I want to just read this. And as you read most of the prayers of the New Testament, especially as it gets to the epistles, what you find is that the epistle writers do not pray for people's different activities of their life and their needs of their life other than in one area primarily. And Paul, the writer of most of the epistles and good portion of the New Testament, when he prays for one thing particularly, that people would know God and that they would know him all the more. We're going to read chapter 3 of Ephesians, starting in verse 14 through verse 21. Our theme verses was up on the screen earlier. It's verses 17b to 19, but I want to read this whole passage. 14, chapter 14 of verse 3, or chapter 3. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Once again, that Spirit in us, coming out. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep, I don't know, too many, is the love of Christ. And to know the love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. Catch that part? And I pray that you being rooted and established in love. Roots down, rooted and established, growth up. May have power together with all the saints as we walk together in community to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know the love that surpasses knowledge. We can't even get our head around this. That you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. And then Paul continues on and says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. So folks, this year our desire is to walk intimately with God. It's been our desire, but we want to focus on that. We want to help us to encounter this living Christ, the Christ of the gospel, the Christ who saves, has saved, is saving, will save. And it's our desire that we walk in that intimate knowledge of that. So this year we're going to, through a number of different ways, ask us to kind of consider who this Christ is, who this God of love is. And just want to remind you, it's in the newsletter, but we're going to start next week by talking about some spiritual disciplines. The disciplines don't make us love God, but the disciplines are things that we put into place that we might love God better and that we might know him more intimately. So for 6 weeks, we're going to talk about different spiritual disciplines that we need to walk in. After that, we're going to spend 6 weeks in the letter of Colossians. The title of this series is Encounter Jesus Through the Eyes of Paul, a study of Colossians. After that is our Advent series, Encountering the Savior as Those Who Waited. Then when we come back after Christmas, we're going to spend 16 weeks in a series called Crown and Cross, the Encounter the Savior King through the Gospel of Mark. And I love studying the Gospels. I love the whole scripture, but I love studying the Gospels. We did a 10-week series on Luke, and it lasted 27 weeks. We're not going to do that this time because we have some things we want to talk about after that. But following up that and ending up our year, we're going to talk about encountering Jesus in the Gospel, Shalom, and social justice. We're going to see how God allows the gospel to work out through us from our inside out as we work for his kingdom. I want you to realize as we go through this, this is not just more information, that these are opportunities, and we'll try everything we can to give you good opportunity to really encounter the living Christ through these things. One other thing I just want to promote real quickly is SOD, School of Discipleship. We did that a couple years ago, and we did it on weekends where we did a Friday night, Saturday kind of teaching time. We're simply asking this year that you would give one evening, a couple hours, the fourth Thursday of each month to come, fourth Tuesday of each month, sorry, to come, no matter where you are on your spiritual journey, that we would be able to grow together as we walk through our values. We're going to start this on the 23rd of September with looking at our value of fusion. And if you're somebody who's just seeking Christ out, if you're new to this whole thing, just walking into the church for the first time, you're welcome, and this will be geared for you. If you're a follower of Christ, if you're a missionary at heart, if you're a servant leader in the church, this time is for you. I may have shared this with you before, but God struck me this year that we come and we worship together, and yet we kind of separate people to grow wherever they are on the spiritual journey, but we grow by walking together. If you're questioning Christ and haven't accepted him yet, we can grow from your questions. And those of us who are walking with Christ, we can encourage you along in that path. We can come together and grow together. So come, mark that sod. We'll have childcare available. But once again, we need to know whose children are coming. We'll keep reminding you of that. Come on the 23rd and come ready to grow as we grow together. As I end my time here, and it's just about the noontime here, we got one more song to sing, and then we'll break for our barbecue. I'll give you a few directions after we sing our last song. I just want to end. We used this a couple years ago, but I want to remind us of this. It's called the Gospel Prayer, and this is out of J.D. Greer's book called Gospel. And I like this prayer. Let me read it to you. And as I read it, I'm going to ask the worship team to come. This will be our prayer here. It says, in Christ, there is nothing I can do that would make you love me more, and nothing I have done that makes you love me less. Your presence and approval are all I need for everlasting joy. As you have been to me, so I will be to others. As I pray, I'll measure your compassion by the cross and your power by the resurrection. Amen.